Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the rather disturbing events of the week. They're almost always disturbing through the lens of what we hope is original thought. I do my best with that. I'm reading a post from a leftist on Facebook and responded to it and then realized that she hadn't actually written it. She had reposted it from some other original thinking person. So I had to apologize for assuming that she had written it and admit that I barely pay attention to anything you say, but because you're a leftist and all that. But and then I realized I wasn't even sure if it was a girl. The name was Chris. It could go either way. And I said, you know, we're not actually friends. We're just friends on Facebook. Because I would never hang out with a person like that for any significant amount of time. Anyway, I'm sure you've had similar experiences, but let's jump right in, ladies and gentlemen. We want to start. Should I start with dreams or should I start with the news? I had a dream that I was laying on my back in my yard and I was looking up at the trees. And one of the trees was extraordinarily tall and straight. And it was nighttime, and I looked up, and I realized that at the very tip-top of the tree, there was an owl's nest with an owl in it and owlets, which I think is what you call a baby owl, an owlet. And the owl majestically unfurled its wings and swooped out of the nest, and that's when I realized, wow, we have an owl in our yard. How awesome is that? And I could see the little owlet's head kind of bobbing a little bit back and forth. And then the owl, the mother owl, I now realize, the mother owl, proceeded to swoop out and down into a nosedive, and I realized that it was coming right for me, and right as the owl's beak came into view, as it was about to strike me in the head, the dream ended and I woke up. And so that was the... anyway, I would like an owl in my yard, though, by the way. That would be very cool. But so there, we start with that. Oh, and before that in the dream, now I'm just remembering this. I was walking around the yard looking at all the trees and realizing that all the trees were dead. All the trees in the yard were dead and all the trunks of the trees were stripped bare. There was no bark and they were dead trees. But then when I looked closer, when I looked more closely, I realized that there were new tiny blossoms sprouting out of what I thought were the dead trees. That was when I decided to lay down on my back, see how tall the trees were, and that's when I spotted the owl. All right, so there we have the dream. I probably shouldn't have opened with that. I've just lost two-thirds of my audience. Although I'm pretty sure I've already lost at least two-thirds of my audience by insulting them over the whole coronavirus panic. But let's not dwell on why I've offended you and made you so upset. Let's get into why you listen. This would be the biggest story of the week if civilization were not actually crumbling in front of our eyes in real time. The Arab League rejected the Palestinian resolution condemning the agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. So typically, whenever anything good happens, the Palestinians get the Arab League together and they vote against it. And that's been that way for 70 years. I mean, my entire adult life anyways. But last week, the Arab League rejected the Palestinians' request to condemn Israel and the UAE for making whatever kind of deal they made there. Some sort of peace deal, they call it. I don't know. It seems like they made a financial deal. I mean, how is Jared Kushner, a relatively inexperienced child, Managing to hammer out peace agreements where no one else has been able to for decades. And I think the answer is just straight up cash money. That's it. It's he knows how to pitch the money. He's a money man. And he knows how to do that, and that works. For a while, for a time, you can paper over disagreements if there's enough money to paper over. But and not that I have anything against, I'm glad Israel and UAE have, UAE has decided to recognize Israel's right to exist. Well, anyways, I guess I'll just leave it at that. I'm just announcing the news. This would be a big story if it weren't for the impending end of civilization. But because of the impending end of civilization, the story is pushed way down below the fold. And nobody will hear about it except for on this show. So consider yourself privileged. Is that white privilege? Not everyone who listens to the show is white. It's just privilege, that's all. Just straight up privilege. All right, now, speaking of the end of civilization, we go to the insurrection file, where two Los Angeles County Sheriff deputies were ambushed in their car, shot in the head. The ambush was caught on camera. It's astonishing. It appears that a child or a very small person just walked up to the side of a police car and just opened fire on the officer sitting in their car. And it appears to me to be a child. I watched it a half a dozen times anyway. Well, the two deputies were rushed to the hospital. They were shot in the head and face. And anti-police, listen to how this is reported by the urinalists at the New York Post. Anti-police protesters descended on the hospital, blocked the entrance, and began chanting, "We hope they die." The New York Post calls these protesters blocking the entrance to an emergency room, chanting, "We hope they die." And then, to make matters worse, as if that wasn't bad enough. I mean, just the shooting of the police is bad enough. But then the chanting and the blocking of the emergency room. Then the LAPD chief tweets out in response to the protesters at the emergency room. He tweets out, quote, "I recognize and acknowledge we live in troubled times, but we must loudly and resoundingly condemn violence." So listen, chief, just a couple things. First off, when people are blocking your or attempting to block your officers from emergency medical care, it's not the time to acknowledge that we live in troubled times. That's just not the way to lead. And then to basically act as if all violence is equal. "We must loudly and resoundingly condemn violence." What violence? The violence of... what violence? Well, just all violence in general. This is why the country's gone to hell in a handbasket. So our political leadership, I'm afraid, is no longer able to uphold justice or protect us. To protect the innocent. And I suppose we're increasingly going to find the need to defend ourselves. I suppose. I mean, where do you draw the line when the government becomes complicit with the criminals? Or encouraging of the criminals. So no, I think complicit. Anyway, I'm not sure where this ends. I think it doesn't end very well, I'm afraid. Well, together we shall see. Okay, now we'll just continue with the insurrection file. Four people have now been arrested out on the West Coast for deliberately starting wildfires. Two men in Washington, a man in Oregon, a woman in California. This is as of whenever I stopped gathering the news sometime on Saturday. So far, at least 30 people have been killed. And authorities in Oregon are telling residents to brace themselves for a mass fatality incident because there are a lot of people missing who are unaccounted for. And this reminded me of a story I read back in August, and I'm not sure if I did it on the show, so I'm going to do it now. WLS in Chicago reported that a new video had been released by ISIS encouraging their followers to begin a campaign of arson attacks against Americans. And so ISIS encourages fires. We know that Antifa likes to start fires, and fires seem to erupt at Black Lives Matter, mostly peaceful protests, all the time. And so now we've got record wildfires burning through the West. Let's see. Governor Kate out in Oregon says of the fires, this could be the greatest loss of life and structures due to wildfire in state history. They arrested a 36-year-old resident of Puyallup, Washington. Let's see. He's a suspected Antifa militant. Has a history of police protesting and encounters with law enforcement, according to court records. They give his name, but I'm not going to give his name. He attended a Black Lives Matter march in Seattle back on June 5th. In 2014, the person arrested starting fires in Oregon was caught with a cache of weapons during the Ferguson decision protest back in Ferguson, Missouri. You remember all that. So this terrorist has been at war with us for 6 years that we know of. I mean, how long has this been going on? How long has the desire to overthrow the government been festering in these young men? And, at least 6 years. And the fact that it wasn't stamped out then through the shooting and killing of rioters back in 2014, 15, 16, when all that was going on. Because we didn't shoot and kill these young men then, now they're still at war with us. And I hope it doesn't fall upon us, the ordinary citizens, to do what's right and shoot and kill the rioters. Because that would just be out of bounds. That's law enforcement should be allowed to do that. Unfortunately, law enforcement is not being allowed to do that. And so eventually we will have to do it. And you know, the thing is we will. You know, we'll do it. We can handle it. But it's a messy business. And you know, we have lives and work and kids. And, you know, we got other things to do. That's why we have law enforcement and judges and all of that. All right. We go now into the justice file. Not sure why this. Let's see. This is from ElizabethJohnston.org. Who I think it's written by Elizabeth Johnston. I'll link to it because I'm not sure who she is, but I certainly agree with the article. It's long been said, says Liz. It's long been said with a bit of hyperbole that our institutions of higher learning in the United States have turned into indoctrination camps for Marxist ideology, right? Rush Limbaugh's been snickering about that on the air for 30 years. And then Sean Hannity comes right on after Rush and does the same snicker bit. These colleges are rich marks, yeah. And they laughed at it and chuckled at it and got great ratings making fun of it. Made lots of money making fun of it. Well, now, one Virginia university, Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, is offering a class called, quote, How to Overthrow the State, unquote. It includes instruction on producing a manifesto, an essay on rewriting history, and confronting memory. The course places each student at the head of a popular revolutionary movement aiming to overthrow a sitting government, just any old sitting government, and to forge a better society. That's according to the course description. Questions that come up require instruction are questions like, quote, how will you attain power? How will you communicate with the masses? How will you improve the lives of the people? And how will you deal with the past? Listen to this. This is actually printed in the course description. From Franz Fanon to Che Guevara to Mohammed Gandhi and others, we explore examples of revolutionary blah, blah, blah. So they actually misspelled Mahatma Gandhi and they put in Mohammed Gandhi. The university itself not only misspelled, but the editors allowed the misspelling to make it into the... It's Mahatma. Okay. Okay. I don't know what my notes say here. I can't read my own notes. I have some very witty comment here. Something, something, something. These people are idiots. I see. I get it now. So they misspell Mahatma. They put in Mohammed. So that's it. Our saving grace may be that these people are really idiots. And maybe... Anyway, in reaction, we have a quote from a pro-family hack and fundraiser named Charlie Kirk. He says, the Trump administration should investigate to determine if federal funds should be used to subsidize this university that has a course on how to overthrow the state. Okay, Chuck. That's Charlie Kirk. Should we really be using tax dollars to fund this? No, Charlie, this is a crime. Okay, it's long past time to start an investigation or into whether or not we should use federal funds. I mean, we need to start criminally punishing the insurrection, right? I mean, it's been operating pretty much in the open for 50 years, and pro-family, so-called conservatives like Charlie Kirk and his organization and others... talk radio, they've all made sport of it and made a good living fundraising off laughing at it and scaring other people about what this all means. But have they done anything about it? No. Have they actually called for justice to be enforced against these criminals? No, they haven't. They don't want it to go away. What would they talk about on their show if they weren't able to laugh at those crazies in the universities, those... I remember when I first heard that guitar solo, I was laying in a tent in South Korea, and I thought, this guy can barely play. This guy can barely play, and he's got a record deal. I'm going to get a guitar. That's what I thought. Anyway, yeah. So the pro-family hucksters and the talk radio, they sold their soul to the devil for a few bucks and some ratings, and meanwhile... the country's been, so everything they chuckled about and laughed at is now an insurrection. And going into the insurrection file, by the way, we see that a judge out in Michigan, Judge Lori, who's a U.S. District Court Judge Lori, has issued an injunction banning the police from using batons, gas, or chokeholds on protesters. Yes. There's nothing in her ruling about rioters, so I'm assuming the police can still use batons, gas, and chokeholds on rioters, but the judge doesn't address rioters. Lori addresses the protesters. All right. So, folks, what we have here is an insurrection from the bench. So forces within the justice system are aligned with those seeking to overthrow the government. And, well, this is troublesome. It's nothing to snicker at. And now we've got, this week it's astonishing. It's truly astonishing how fast. Now you've got, Rochester, New York. I saw a video. I saw a video. Was it Rochester? It's hard to tell anymore. Of a mob basically harassing an old couple eating outside at a table. It's terrifying. And all because the latest martyr of the insurrection, this guy, the martyr out in Rochester is one Daniel Prude. He was captured running down the street naked, high on PCP. And so he's now the latest worst of the worst folk hero to be. They'll have posters of him up there, and I suppose NFL and NBA players will wear Daniel Prude. I wonder if they'll wear the image of him sitting naked with the spit hood. I wonder if that'll replace the George Floyd gentle giant picture. I don't know. So anyway, I started to go through my memory banks of, these insurrectionists, they pick some of the most horrible human beings to be their martyrs. These are horrible people. So I started searching on the internet and came to a list on Al Jazeera. They have a page called Know Their Names. That's what it says in the title. That's the same humiliation line that Black Lives Matter uses trying to get normal people to submit to their authority. That's what they were screaming at the old couple just having a drink outside of a restaurant. They started screaming, say their names. And it's just terrifying. Anyway, so Al Jazeera has a page, Know Their Names, because Al Jazeera is and has been a Marxist conspiracy against the West ever since it started. And they're in league with the Black Lives Matter and all the Antifa and the rest, Occupy. And so anyway, I got a list of the Black Lives Matter martyrs. Started going all the way back to Rodney King. That's right, convicted of battery on his wife, assault with a deadly weapon, second-degree robbery. Was on PCP at the time of when he was arrested in 1991 and the police had to beat him into submission. Yeah. And that whole incident, by the way, eventually led to the acquittal of O.J. Simpson after he cut the heads off of two people. But they were white people, so did their lives matter? No, their lives did matter, but in different ways to different sides of that. Let's fast forward now. Michael Brown, the strong arm robber, pothead. Unfortunately, Michael Brown never reached his potential as a thug, committing suicide by cop at just 18 years of age. Gentle giant. Trayvon Martin, you remember Trayvon? Remember the pictures of Trayvon? The Skittles, right? And the Mountain Dew. Suspended twice at the school where he attended for offenses that would have gotten him arrested. But the schools under Barack Obama's education department basically had a program to reduce the number of kids getting arrested because it was just out of hand, especially amongst the black kids. And so he did stuff that would have gotten him arrested, but he got caught with a burglary tool at school. Normally, that's a crime. You get arrested for that. And he also got caught with a dozen items of female jewelry. He got caught with drugs a couple times. Just a real hero. Philando Castile, you remember him? The video of the police shooting him to death in his car because he wouldn't show them his hands. Hey, when a cop's pointing a gun in your face and says, show me your hands. Hey, Philando, show the brother some hands. Maybe you won't get shot. But anyway, Philando Castile, actually, my criminal record is actually more serious than his. Uh-huh. So Philando, he wasn't a felonious criminal. Although I've never committed a felony. So anyway, I'm as criminal as Philando Castile. But, as I said on my show, the last time the police had guns drawn on me and pointed at my face and asked to see my hands, I did nothing but show them my hands. That's all I could think about was showing them my hands, and I did so. And that's why I'm doing the Weekly Worldview, and Philando Castile is dead. We moved on to Freddie Gray. Remember Freddie? He's the one they threw in the back of the paddy wagon, and when they got to the police station, unfortunately, Freddie had died. He was arrested mostly for drug possession, drug distribution, various minor crimes, many of which were not prosecuted. He had several cases scheduled for trial in the coming months, one case involving charges for second-degree assault, but he was never tried on any of that because, well, Freddie met an early demise. Eric Garner, you remember him selling Lucy's out on the street? Arrested over 30 times, mostly for thievery and drugs. Just a garden variety loser was Eric Garner, who just decided he was not going to give in to the police. And because he was big and fat and not healthy, he died. George Floyd, arrested 9 times in 10 years. Everything from misfit petty criminal and dope dealer type charges, all finally aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. So George Floyd was just reaching the apex of his potential as a criminal when he was cut down. We're going to get to him, too. Jacob Blake, in July, police filed charges against Jacob Blake for felony sexual assault, trespassing, domestic abuse. And then now we've got Joseph Rosenbaum. He's the guy who Kyle Rittenhouse shot to death, one of the rioters. He's come up now as some sort of hero. He's a child rapist, convicted of raping a child. Shot and killed, thankfully, by Kyle Rittenhouse. So why is it that the Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of the Marxist insurrection agitators, why do they always seem to pick the worst of the worst of the worst human beings to be their martyrs? I mean, it's not as if these insurrectionists just happen to keep picking some of the lowest forms of criminals to lift up as their martyrs. It's just that most people who die in the custody of police, most people who end up in that situation are the lowest form of criminal. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sitting through that list of modern-day folk hero martyrs. Yes. So I had another dream where I was at a baseball game, a professional baseball game. And everyone in the stands was practicing social distancing. And every time you got up and moved, other people in the crowd moved away from you in an algorithmic fashion. It was really strange. And I think, I don't know why I had that dream, because I haven't watched baseball in, I think when the Rockies lost to the Boston, well, no, we watch the World Series almost every year, right? I don't know, I like baseball. And I guess it was just a sad commentary on the strange and eerie weirdness that's going on. And then I had another dream where I was getting ready for a trip. I had my suitcase out. And I'm getting ready, and I know I have to pack, and then I realize I'm staying in someone else's room. And I can't find any of my stuff because I'm in somebody else's. I open up the drawers, and it's And then I know who it is. It's a guy I haven't seen in like 30 years. But I'm in his room, and all his stuff is there, and I was unable to pack. And then I realized I must already be on a trip. So that was weird. Trying to pack, and you find you're in someone else's room. Anyway, saw a commercial last night. Really disturbing. Everyone in this commercial was wearing a mask. Mostly those custom-made fabric jobs that are just ridiculous, stupid, and useless, and quite possibly, I mean, if you were to actually get the coronavirus on that mask, it's probably more harm than good. I mean, seriously. So anyway, everyone had that mask, and I think it was a drug company or some type of healthcare company commercial. And they ended that they're working toward a world without disease, was what they said. A world without disease. Okay. So, all right. It just, that was disturbing to me. That to just that implication that was rational to think that we were, okay. But I don't know. A lot of times in commercials, you're allowed to use hyperbole, but it didn't sound hyperbolic. It was almost as if I was in church anyway. It was very disturbing. And then the most disturbing events of the week, where we live here on the McBurney compound, in the rare instances where we leave the compound to go interact with other humans, we had one of those over this past week. We went to a restaurant where indoor dining has just now been allowed again for the moment. So, and so we go and we get to the door, and the waiter asks for my name and phone number. And so I was taken aback. I was like, why do you need my name and phone number? It's like if I infect somebody so that they can call me and file a lawsuit, what's the deal? And the kid said, I don't know why. I have to get everybody's name, and I have to get at least one phone number. And so I gave him my name and phone number, not understanding what was happening. And then I realized later that, oh, I know what's going on. This is part of the contact tracing regime that's about to come. Oh, you just wait, folks. They've got the governing officials and health departments all in every state, well, virtually every state, have this contact tracing plan. This is how they're going to reemploy all the people after they've destroyed all the small businesses. They're going to give us all jobs as contact tracers. And so anyway, I gave the kid my name and phone number, not really understanding that I was entering a dystopian new world. I'm sure I'll get it notified in the next week or two that I've tested positive for COVID-19. And then they're going to start tracking down everybody I've talked to, interfaced with, met, lock us all up in quarantine. I don't know. It was just really weird. Okay, so let's go to now George Floyd. I'm sorry to be distracted with all that. I want to return to the list of losers. Top of the list now, George Floyd. Defense attorneys for the police who were involved in subduing George Floyd when he died is alleging that George Floyd overdosed on fentanyl. Why is he asserting that? Well, that's because that's what the medical examiner said. And he also released a video of George Floyd. Apparently, it looks like he's swallowing a pill. Let's see. This is a couple weeks ago because I wanted to sit on this and see. I needed to confirm this because, I mean, this is bombshell type information. Of course, you haven't heard about it, I don't think. So I might be breaking news because, but this is off of... This was, I took this down from Fox News almost 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard much about it since then. But the lawyers say that Floyd swallowed drugs during the arrest. And they pointed to the video of a white dot on Floyd's tongue that was captured by the body camera of the police. The lawyer is arguing that it's a 2 mil fentanyl pill. And 2 mils of fentanyl kills you, even if you're as big as George Floyd. 2 milligrams of fentanyl is fatal. And they're alleging that Floyd took the pill to avoid getting arrested. And just to reiterate, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner thought George Floyd's fentanyl levels were potentially fatal. The chief county medical examiner, Dr. Andrew Baker, said that if Mr. Floyd had been found dead in his home or anywhere else and there were no other contributing factors, he would conclude that it was an overdose death. So, folks, calling George Floyd's death a murder is going to be judged by history as, well, premature at the least. Because the facts are going to prove otherwise. George Floyd died not... George Floyd was not choked to death by the cops. And now here's why I wanted to go ahead and do this story. I found this... George Floyd's... I'm sorry, the defense attorneys for the police who were involved in subduing George Floyd when he died, defense attorneys have filed a document with the court that nobody else seems to have noticed except informationliberation.com, which is where I got this story. George Floyd swallowed drugs during a prior arrest, May 6, 2019. Documented by the arresting officers and now filed by the defense attorneys of the police who were engaged in restraining George Floyd when he unfortunately passed from the scene. So George Floyd swallowed drugs before. Okay, so anyway, just... and by the way, everyone on the radio, all the talk show hosts, right, left, and center... who shouted through the megaphones that George Floyd's been murdered, George Floyd's been murdered, you all contributed to basically an environment that has lit the country on fire. You should all be ashamed of yourselves, and you should be willing to come out and say, you know what, maybe I should have waited before I passed judgment. Especially when there was all the rioting and the killing and the burning going on. Thank you very much. All right, let's see. I already said that Joseph Rosenbaum, I don't even want to get into, this is the kid who was shot by 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse. He was shot while rioting. He was convicted of sex crimes against children, Arizona 2002. He was a convicted pedophile. Crimes against, listen to this. Crimes against several boys ages 9 to 11, including rape. So here's a guy who should have been killed by the state, and instead it fell into the hands of a 17-year-old trying to defend his buddy's business to execute judgment on this guy. But he did do it, and we appreciate Kyle Rittenhouse for upholding justice. anyway, so here's the thing, folks. There's been this silent, hidden direction of class for 50 years. Releasing people who rape children into society is destructive of the society. What I meant to say was destructive of the society. Did you? All right, folks. It's the judicial class and their decision to tolerate this type of criminal behavior. And the judicial class, by the way, includes the legislature, because they're all a bunch of lawyers up there legislating. Passing laws, so-called, that allow for the release of people who rape boys. You can't have that. If you're going to release men who rape children into society, you cannot have a society. It will be taken from you. So this silent, hidden insurrection amongst the lawyers and the judges has led to this now loud, very public insurrection in our streets. Because you don't get to keep a society. If you do all that. All right, so do we want to go into COVID? I've already done my contact tracing. By the way, I have a strategy for contact tracing that I'm not going to go into because I'd rather not. That's the kind of thing that you don't talk about. I am going to comply with contact tracing because I care about others. That's the only statement I'm willing to make on... I will make a prediction, though, about the election. Well, should I do that now? And let me get into COVID first. Did you say no? You don't want to hear it?
No, go ahead.
She's like, just go with your gut. Don't second guess yourself. I want to talk about COVID, though, I think, because I think that bears on the election. I read an article from a conservative. It must have been 20 pages. And he was writing of how civilization is on the verge of utter collapse. He goes through every problem with the country, moral, spiritual, political, everything. I agree with everything this guy is writing. And except for the fact that he keeps interjecting that we have to vote for Donald Trump, or as if voting for Donald Trump is going to stop any of this from happening. Folks, the insurrection and the collapse of this civilization predates Donald Trump's birth. Forget about he's the... Anyway, this is way bigger than the president. All right, so anyway, I will... here's my prediction. Joe Biden will be the last non-celebrity candidate for president ever. Because Donald Trump is probably going to... I'm not going to say probably. This is a prediction. You can't qualify a prediction. Donald Trump is about to win in the biggest landslide in the history of the country. He'll win. I believe Donald Trump will win every state because of the fires and the killing of the police and the mayhem and the insurrection. The devil is overplaying his hand. So once Donald Trump wins in the biggest landslide in U.S. history, everyone's going to realize we don't have any actual politicians left who can compete. I mean, look at Joe Biden. I mean, that's the best we could come up with. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell would probably have run a better campaign, at least technically. I mean, at least she can speak, as annoying as that is to hear. So Joe Biden will be it. And after that, the age of the celebrity Caesars that I predicted in 2016 will have begun. 1,000 years from now, history will look back and say, this is where the age of the celebrity Caesars began in America. It actually began with Trump, but it became an irresistible force after the disastrous campaign of Joe Biden and, of course, the big flinch over, the big flinch really started with COVID, or what we call the coronavirus, and the flinch got harder after Black Lives Matter came along and Antifa and the riots and all that. When we abandoned the police stations and ran away. And so the rule of celebrity is now an irresistible force that will end in the end of the Republic, at the very least. And quite possibly the end of Western civilization. I mean, that could be the exclamation point that historians put at the end of this particular age.
Floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing in Beverly Hills.
It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you very much. I appreciate you sticking with us here. Now we move into widespread deception, into the COVID. By the way, remember when they changed the name of the whole event from coronavirus to COVID-19, and I was annoyed by that. And I took note of that. And since then, I now know why. It's because they have changed the language to keep people afraid. Now, everyone who tests positive for COVID-19, which basically means they're on a ventilator in the parking lot of an overwhelmed hospital. But no, what actually happened was he was 19, he went to college, and he tested positive for coronavirus. He never even sneezed. They tested positive. COVID-19 cases are exploding. Anyway, so it was all a conspiracy. See, you see, it was an accidental conspiracy of like-minded evil people with similar intents who don't even have to call each other, give the secret handshake, or they don't even have to join the secret society. They all already work for the same side. That's all right, but we go now. The CDC disclosed, this is like 2 weeks ago. This is another one I had to sit on and wait. But the CDC basically said over 90% of the people who died of COVID-19 didn't actually die directly from COVID-19. At the time this article was published, there were about 10,000 people who died only with, or I should say only of COVID-19. Only about 10,000. The other 190,000, they all died of at least 2.6 other things. So, anyway, the article, this was out of from Town Hall. The author says, you know, instead of protecting the vulnerable, experts recommended locking everyone up, including putting old people from nursing homes in with... And it's all true and all of that. But, it's not entirely fair to say that this means that the novel coronavirus is not responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of people. That would be an overstatement, and I've heard people make that overstatement. I mean, almost every pathogen exploits underlying vulnerabilities, and that's why people die. So to say that the novel coronavirus itself is some sort of hoax or it's not really that big of a deal, that's not true. That would be overstating. But this is good news, right? That means that if you don't have any of these dozen different heart disease, diabetes, all of the, you know the list, okay, right, of all the comorbidities, a word that none of us knew before. Comorbidities, unless you worked at the morgue. Nobody knew the word comorbidity. Now we all know it. And half the people out there want to act like they're experts on it, but we're not experts on it. One thing I'm expert on is just common sense and how things have worked for thousands of years. That's how I know that most pathogens exploit underlying vulnerabilities, and that's how people die. How do I know that? Because we all knew that. I thought there was a basic amount of stuff that everybody pretty much knew, and I found out, no, that's not true. Very few people have even a half a brain in their head anymore. But anyway, this is good news, right? It should be good news. But good news travels slow. But one thing this does do, this supports my assertion, that had it not been for the media-driven, politically correct hysteria that we were all encouraged to participate in, that we likely would have barely noticed that this virus ever even came along. We would have barely noticed had they not decided. But anyway, that's neither here nor there any longer, is it? Because we did participate. I, myself, did not imbibe of it. But all the people demanding that I pull my mask up over my nose have imbibed. All right. Now, from the widespread hypocrisy file, restaurant owners in Philadelphia got really mad this past week because they saw a picture of their mayor, who himself banned indoor dining indoors in Maryland. You know, because the virus isn't as bad in Maryland, and it doesn't, you know... And I'm the mayor. Come on. I can afford to drive to another state and have a meal. What, you people can't figure that out? So anyway, the mayor who banned indoor dining went to Maryland so he could dine indoors. It's a widespread hypocrisy. And then we've got 87-year-old Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's recovering from cancer and one of the most vulnerable people to this virus on the planet. She officiated the wedding of a family friend last weekend without a mask. They sent out pictures. She didn't have a mask on. Why? Because she's not an idiot. She knows the masks are stupid. And plus, she didn't think anybody was watching. She didn't think any of her idiotic relatives would release the picture and embarrass her and let everyone know that an 80-year-old cancer survivor doesn't think a mask is necessary. Oh, no, they said everyone was tested. Oh, and we all got tested. Sure, yeah, right. Uh-huh. So Ruth knew for sure that nobody could have possibly had that virus, or that any of the staff or anyone else present could have ever had the virus. Anyway, widespread hypocrisy. And then, of course, the biggest one of the week, Nancy Pelosi. The hair salon where she... Oh, by the way, Nancy Pelosi went to a hair salon a couple of weeks ago. The rank hypocrisy of that was stunning, yet she remains in office. Probably more powerful and popular now than she was before. The hairstylist who owned the salon, she says she's afraid to go back, so she's going to close her doors, going to move out. She's done with San Francisco. And then the mayor, is it the mayor? Never heard of this lady, so it's hard for London Breed. London Breed, that sounds like something you'd order at a steakhouse. London Breed? She's the mayor, and she now, all of a sudden, she's accelerated the plan, and she's going to open salons. It's unclear, says the New York Post, if Nancy Pelosi's controversial August 31st visit to a hair salon contributed to London Breed's decision to accelerate the timeline for suddenly reopening hair salons. It's just a coincidence is all it is. It's just a coincidence. All right. So there is all your widespread hypocrisy. So as the elites who enforce the masks upon us gallivant around without their masks, showing that they don't believe any of this. In fact, none of us believe any of it. My friend ran into a guy who gave him the stink eye over having the mask down below his nose. Told my friend that's not how it's done. And my friend was like, what are you talking about? That's not how it's done. He said, the mask. The mask. He pulls it up over his nose, indicating my friend is supposed to pull it up. So anyway, I can't remember what my friend did, but he basically made a comment and kept everything calm and didn't get into a big blow-up about it, which because he's a mature person, he's not a... But afterward, he had to call me to tell me, hey, here's what I would have said had I been on my toes, because, you know, we're all in that situation. Because you get confronted by someone, and there's that conflict now, so you don't always think clearly. And you wish you would have said, well, look, you know, I don't have my mask on. You have your mask on. Do you believe masks work? I mean, your mask is on. And then, hey, you know what? You're less than 2 feet away from me, and I don't have a mask. You should actually be scared. You should be backing off. So the fact is, you don't believe any of this stuff. You just want to tell me what to do. Why? Because you're a loser. And in real life, you'd never have any authority over someone like me ever in 1,000,006 years. But here at the store, you can act like a tyrant for 35 seconds and think you're a good person. Just get out of here with that. All right. Now we go to the No Normal file. I said the No Normal file where David Horowitz wrote for Conservative Review. State officials have begun laying out a plan for aggressively combating the upcoming influenza season. That's right, you're going to be hearing more and more about the flu season as our tyrannical leaders begin the next phase of their tyranny. They are announcing programs to combine flu shots with coronavirus testing facilities and more, and they're advocating many, many of the same measures to head off the spread of COVID-19 are going to be implemented to slow the spread of the flu this season. Why? Because the flu kills people. And now that they've set up this almost pathological fear of infectious pathogens, they're going to be able to do it because people are going to go along because, well, they've bought into it this far. I guess they've got a lot invested. Yes, yes, let's see. The governor, who is this? The health department director, Dr. Kara, out in Arizona, is warning about the perfect storm of COVID-19 mixing with the flu season. They warned about mask wearing and shutting down businesses. That might all be necessary. They've also revealed that indeed, hospitals get overwhelmed to a degree during the flu season. And now that fact, which we've all lived with every year, will be used to control our lives even further, according to David Horowitz. Yeah. So you see how this has come out now. I said this months ago that I heard from a doctor, and I didn't know this, because none of us knew about any of this stuff before all this. But hospitals get overwhelmed on a regular basis. Every year, two, three, you have a really bad flu season, you end up with people in tents in the parking lot. It happens. Well, now we've decided that we're willing to toss off 5,000 years of civilized human behaviors to stop that from happening. And that's just insane, but that's where we are. And that's why I don't think the masks ever go away. I don't think we walk this back. The masks are with us for the rest of our lives because of the big flinch. From the widespread tyranny file, we go to German author Ernst Jünger, who predicted the ubiquitous of face masks to enforce conformity in his dystopian novel, The Worker, published in 1932. Thomas Crew details in an article called The Dystopian Age of the Mask, which I will link to. You should read this article. By Thomas Crew, he's the modern author, talking about Ernst Jünger's book, warning of a dystopian future in the light of the fascist conquest. The communist and fascist conquest of Europe was happening at the time, 1932. Crew talks about the eradication of all individuality as a running theme of dystopian literature. He cites George Orwell's 1984. Crew explains that the public has been brainwashed to believe that the continuation of life... This is deep. This is something we all need to ponder. Listen to this. We've all been brainwashed to believe that the continuation of life, no matter how stifled, atomized, and undignified, is the only consideration. And so this is what I felt at the restaurant where we ate, where we were ordered to come in with our masks. Our name and phone number was taken. We're ordered to come in with our masks. We sit down at the table. We're allowed to take off the mask. If you have to go to the bathroom, you have to put on your mask. We had a brief conversation with the waitress, who I guarantee you this waitress wasn't just a waitress. She had some ownership of that business. Because she stopped and she told us, almost with tears in her eyes, how it's going. How this place used to be festive. At Christmas time, you wouldn't believe it. And this place has been packed since we opened in 1980, whatever. And now she looked around. She says, look at this. The tables are all... She said, we used to have 30 tables here. Now we have 7. I said, how long can you keep this up and stay in business? She said, I don't know. But she decided, and the ownership of that restaurant and the owners of every other business in America have decided that we're willing to do this just so they'll give us the privilege of living again. And that is the end. That is not possible. That means you've given it all away. And that restaurant where we ate, that restaurant is not going to survive because they chose to give in. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just observing what's happened. We all collectively decided that we were going to give in, and that means we lost it. It's over. It's never coming back. We decided that we would go on with a stifled and undignified life as doled out to us by the technocratic experts. And for that, we shall not be forgiven. There shall be no recovery. I hate to be a bummer, folks. Anyway, a Crew closes with this statement. So the continuation of life is the only consideration. Everything non-essential, everything that is that makes us human, is discarded. And we all chose to discard it. We did it voluntarily, which is amazing. Historians will look back on this and just wonder, how could this have possibly happened? And I suppose they'll have answers. Okay, from the silver lining... the silver lining file, which I know you need that at this point, right? Don't we all need to see a little bit of a silver lining here? Texas Homeschool Coalition saw 15 times the number of public school families withdraw from the public school this past July over 2019. There were 200 withdrawals in 2019. There were over 3,000 in 2020. almost as many as were processed in the 2019 calendar year. So more people have withdrawn from the public schools since July than withdrew through the whole year of 2019. Homeschool withdrawals have increased 7% annually on an average over the last 20 years, but now they've exploded. A Gallup poll at the end of August found a 5-point increase in parents who say they will homeschool their child, from 5% in 2019 to 10% in 2020. That's double. So that is the silver lining, is that we're all going to figure out that we can fend for ourselves and that we don't need technocratic experts to help us live a life without disease. And we'll be able to rebuild something, that maybe even something better. How about that? So there, I'm not being a bummer. I'm not being a downer. This is just an opportunity to build something better. Because the good old days weren't all that good. I mean, think about it. I mean, look at this story. Governor Newsom in California signed a law that says adults convicted of, I'm not going to get into all the details, but wow, is that detailed. Basically, adults who have sex with a willing minor. A willing minor, that's in the law. They won't automatically be added to the state's sex offender list. Okay. Judges will have discretion as to whether or not you become a sex offender. Judges will also have discretion over whether or not you're prosecuted for sex with a willing minor, whatever that means. I mean, to me, that means if you rape a child, you know, it's not that big of a deal. That's what that says to me. But the way the law exists right now, it already says that to me. I mean, listen to how the LA Times reports this. Far-right conspiracy theorists have seized on this new law as a wedge issue, with some falsely claiming on social media that California is legalizing pedophilia. First of all, the LA Times, how can you say falsely claiming? You're supposed to just be reporting the news. But I guess if it was a false claim, it would be okay to report it that way, but... California already effectively legalized pedophilia when they stopped executing child molesters. Because basically now you can rape a child, and if you're willing to do the time, you just do the crime. There's a good chance you'll get away with it. There's a good chance you'll get out of jail, and there's a good chance you'll never go to jail. I mean, that's effectively legalizing pedophilia. Here's the thing, folks. People think electing Donald Trump is the answer. If you're going to vote for Donald Trump, God bless you. I mean, I'm not going to argue with anyone about what to do with your vote. Okay. I personally am not going to vote for Donald Trump. I am going to register to vote against some tax increases that are, but I haven't seen a man I could vote for in quite a while. I'll just leave it at that. Folks, this is way bigger than the next election. I know this election is the most important of our lifetime. Don't get me wrong. I'm aware of that. My ratings depend on pumping you up over how important this election. You know what? I don't care about my ratings. So I don't have a dog in that fight. I just want to help you people understand what's going on. So first, they came for the husbands and the fathers. Who are they? The accidental conspiracy of like-minded perverts who have the same ends in mind. That's all. They don't have a secret society. They don't have a secret handshake. They don't force people to put on tinfoil hats and repeat after them. It's just an accidental conspiracy of like-minded perverts. They came for the husbands and fathers in the early 1950s with Playboy magazine. All right, legalized pornography. Right, I know a few preachers probably railed against it. God bless them. But most of them snickered and went and bought a copy because, hey, now it's legal. Plus, it's not really, it's not the bad stuff. It's very classy, you know. It's a shiny magazine. So they came for the fathers. And then it came for the wives with the feminism and the, come on, mom, get out there and work. Earn money like a man. You're as equal as any man, right? So they attacked the institution of the wife, and then they came for the institution of marriage. You know, with the legalized pornography came legalized adultery. So this continuous assault on the on the institution of marriage that's been going on for 70 years. You think this election is going to solve that? They came for marriage. They've assaulted down. Then they came for the youth, right? The young people, the single people, the legalized fornication, encouraged them all to shack up together, move in with each other. And then once they finished decimating the family, naturally came the rise of the homosexualists, which has crested now with the transgender revolution, I guess they call it. So from homosexuals to trannies. And then where do you go from there? I mean, it would seem now you've reached the depths of something so depraved. I mean, what's next? Animals? No. No. What's next is the children. What's next is the children. They're after the children now. And after that, what comes after that? Well, there is no after that. I mean, maybe it is bestiality, but there is no after that. Once we hand our children over to them, there is none. The civilization, our civilization will perish from the earth. Once they take the children. A lawmaker in Texas, by the way, has requested the Attorney General of Texas launch an investigation into the Netflix film, the twerking 11-year-old girl film, that we're not going to name it here, but we all know what we're talking about here. This lawmaker in Texas wants an investigation of potential violations of child pornography and child exploitation laws. So this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. A movie depicting child pornography airs all over the country in millions and millions of homes, and a lawmaker has to request an investigation. When what should be happening is a judge should be ordering a raid on whoever produced this. There should be no one asking for an investigation. But this is how far we've fallen. And I would guess there won't even be an investigation. I would guess that the people at the top of the legal profession, the judicial class, they're watching the movie. They're too busy watching the movie to organize an investigation. I was talking to another friend about, you've heard of Pizzagate and all of this, right? I don't know if it's the QAnon or the Pizzagate. I don't partake of any of that stuff. But anyway, I can understand why there's a lot of people who think there's some kind of cabal of celebrities and politicians who are involved in trafficking and child molesting. I can understand it. That's all. And could there be an accidental conspiracy of these type of people, the Epstein types and all the people who fly on airplanes with Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz and other famous people? I think there could be an accidental conspiracy of like-minded perverts. Okay, I guess I'll leave it at that. Well, are we going to draw the line at the children? I personally draw the line. I'm not going to tolerate it. And I don't know what I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of civil disobedience. I can't go burn down the Capitol. I can't take a machine gun into the legislature, and I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. They outnumber us. So we can't take the law into our own hands and overthrow the government. That's not justified. So I guess what the sane among us, I'll just say the God-fearing men that are left, I suppose that we as the God-fearing men have to simply step back and watch them slaughter each other and destroy everything, and we have to suffer through that. And then we just have to be ready to pick up the pieces and build something better. That's... So, and I'm a bit long in the tooth, but not that long in the tooth. I'm glad this didn't start happening when I'm 75. I'd be really bummed, thinking I don't even have a chance to help. But at least I've got a few good years left, and I've got my children, right, who are... children are like... I'm going to mess up the Bible verse. But they're like arrows in a quiver, right? And you can fire them forward across the arc of history in order to try to rescue the foolish who gave it all away and crashed it and burned it and molested it and raped it and ruined it. So that's what we'll try to do here from the Weekly Worldview, from the Owl's Nest here atop the McBurney compound, and welcome you to tune in as often as you can. I don't think I have anything else that I want to talk about. Do I really? I really don't. I think this is it. I think that's it. Well, here, let's end with this Cuban journalist real quick. Police imprisoned Roberto de Jesus Quiñones back September 11th last year because he attended the trial of Pastor Ramon Rigal and his wife, Aida Esposito. They were charged with homeschooling their children. We reported on this. Police arrested Quiñones, who writes for an independent news outlet, because he went to the trial. They sentenced him to a year at a labor camp. He wouldn't go, so they sent him to regular prison, where he's now gotten out. And what does he say about being afraid of being arrested again? Is he going to write again? Yes. Is he going to report again? Yes. Is he going to stand up for the rights of people to educate their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Yes, he is. And he says, they will have to kill me if they want to, but I will keep being congruent with my ideas. They will not rob me of my happiness, because God wants us to be happy and to face life as it comes to us. We all each have a cross to bear, says Quiñones, and nobody else can carry my cross. That cross is mine. It belongs to me. So let's go forward in the spirit of Roberto de Jesus Quiñones and carry our cross together and try to build something better. We'll be with you next week. Should the Lord tarry, we will return. And until then, well, wait a second. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we shall return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.